Welcome to All About Redecorating. My name is Jan Gerard, and I'm an interior decorator. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., I'll be addressing decorating issues, answering questions from listeners or emails, and I'll be sharing trends in the design world. Though, whatever your budget is, you can resolve your decorating issues. So just sit back, make a cup of coffee, cup of tea. The weekend's almost over. Relax, and let's redecorate. You know, last week I had Mike Moffat on from Dennis Moffat Painting, and we were discussing how to hire a painting contractor, and it was very worthwhile, gave a lot of good insight, a lot of good information. So now you've hired your painting contract. Yes, let's use that analogy. When planning on redecorating your home, it's like putting a puzzle together, and part of that puzzle is choosing color. And now that you've gotten the contractor and you're ready to go, you've got to figure out what your color scheme is. So today's topic is taking the risk out of choosing color. Though no matter what the style is at this point, the color selection has to work for you and be comfortable. I've seen people say, my gosh, what if the color that's really hot right now is soft blue? What if you don't like blue? It has to be connecting with you, so don't get sidetracked by whatever the new trends are. It has to be comfortable and fit you. I think, too, choosing color has been a big dilemma for many people when they say, oh my God, now I've got to choose color. Where am I going with this? Where do I start? After having Mike on last week, I received a lot of emails and calls about this topic because they're thinking sometimes, well, do I go soft? Do I go bold? But you shouldn't be afraid of choosing color because it can transform a room immediately, even with your existing furnishings. And don't forget the ceiling, because I think this is important when you look at something from ceiling to floor. We all have our comfort zones, no matter what we do in life. But when it's uncomfortable for you to choose color, don't be afraid of this. And I know people are afraid of making a mistake and they sit back and start rethinking, overthinking, and then nothing gets decided. Color is an instant facelift with existing furnishings. And think about this, it's probably the least expensive way to change a whole feel of the room, especially if you have existing furnishings and love what you have. And I use the analogy too when looking at choosing color. When someone says they're having a head-to-toe makeover, we're looking really at ceiling to floor. So again, don't negate the ceiling. I think, too, when you look at the color selections, it's really dealing with the shell of the room, the complete surroundings, the peripheral. So when you're looking at your colors, ceiling to floor, this is the shell, and this is kind of where things begin. Now, people say, well, where do I start? Well, what's the inspiration? If you're working with your existing furnishings, this can be the easiest way to go about this. Let's say the inspiration is your favorite beautiful oriental rug. Or it could be any rug in any room. Maybe it's the upholstery, the fabrics, the textures, the accessories. I've even seen people create a room with their artwork because they just love this piece and they want this in their living room. Many times, too, when I've seen colors start coming together in a room, the artwork can change because whatever color you've chosen, it's almost pulling from that piece of artwork. Then people will say to me, well, what if I have a blank room, have no furnishings? I have addressed this exercise before a couple of shows ago about working with magazines, walking through different magazines, going page to page. You may start seeing things that are really connecting with you. Maybe you see a room that really appeals to you or is very similar to what you have currently. By going through this exercise, you can start seeing colors that are connecting with you. And if you start seeing a trend that you're drawn to something, it does tell you a story. So now you've picked the color. Now what? You could buy small sample jars of paint from any of these stores in the area, but let's say you don't want to paint the walls. You could pick up a large cardboard, and which is approximately 3 square feet, which is usually what we'll cover from these paint jars, and that will give you a sense of how the paint color will look. What's nice about doing it on cardboard, you can move it from one wall to the other because sometimes the color can look different. I think, too, with doing the samples this way, you'll get a sense of how it does it look at daytime, the lighting, at nighttime, with that particular type of lighting when you put your lights on. So I think this could be a really good test for you. Many times I've been dealing with people that have these open floor plans, especially these newer homes where the living rooms and the dining rooms and kitchens are all kind of open to each other. And I'll hear from people, where does the color begin and end? Speaking of this, I had an email this past week from Connie T. from Narragansett. And she writes me, I have a situation where my kitchen, family room, and dining room are all open to each other, and I'm having a hard time figuring out where the color for one room ends and the next room begins. I hear this a lot because, an example, sometimes there is no true division from one space to another, so people end up just not painting anything because they're afraid to make a mistake on this. I think, too, if you're comfortable with one tone, many times you can pick up these fan decks, be it from any of the companies, and you'll see where at the base of any sheet on the fan deck, the darker colors at the bottom, and then it goes lighter step by step. These color strips can really make it easy as far as coming up with a scheme, and it's the easiest way not to make any mistakes. When you're layering your color from space to space, let's say the room that's the brightest, let's say it's the family room, and that may be a little bit deeper tone. But then as you're moving into the next room, let's say that goes from living room to family room, then the family room may be the lighter tone of that. So we're kind of layering it. We're going from maybe deeper to a little bit lighter. So it's going from a very subtle combination of color, but you're staying within that same family. And I think if you're really afraid of having, let's say, some sage green, then a warm camel color, and then a soft blue, for some people, they don't like the way it's chopping up, especially an open area. So I think this will be a great idea for you just to make it safe. You're kind of floating the color from area to area, and it can be as soft as you desire or dramatic. Sometimes I've seen, and I was with a client yesterday, where there was a focal point, the fireplace, and there were built-ins on either side. We decided to put a deeper tone on the above the mantle or surrounding the mantle, that wall, which is the focal point, and then the other three walls was a lighter version of that. So it just brought more attention to the focal point, more dramatic, and it looks so stunning as far as looking at the different tones. So keep that in mind as far as if that could be an option for you in just experimenting and just doing something a little outside the box. But what if these samples don't help you? What if you say, I still can't get a grasp on how this is going to look? And what if I could show you how any room would look painted from ceiling to floor with all your furnishings in the room before the room is painted? Of course you'd say, I'd love it. Wouldn't anybody? If you could just kind of twitch your nose and here's the color and it's all done. We had talked about this last week when I was on with Mike Moffitt from Dennis Moffitt Painting, and we were talking about a program that Benjamin Moore has. And what I like about this program is that it's a software package that I actually can download into my computer. And how this works is I'll take a photo of your room, any room, because many times on these designer shows you'll see an idea that you like that shows color, but you're not seeing your room in this particular TV show. So when I'm able to take a photo of your room, let's say it's a living room, I take it, the furnishings are there, the lighting is there, everything as it naturally would be. Then what I do is I download it into the software package, and then with this photo I've taken, I can actually paint the room. Once I've put the base coat in, the base paint color that I've chosen, and it's in the system, I can actually change the color all day long. Let's say, for instance, I'm choosing ceiling, trim, walls, but I have up to 7 fields to choose from, which is really great for the exterior program that they have as well. Then once I do this, I can have you look at this and we can brainstorm as far as, okay, we want to go a little bit deeper, a little bit lighter. How is this focal point? Do we want to try this color? Maybe the trim needs to change. Let's try something different on the ceiling. You are able then to see how this room will look. You're taking the risk out of choosing your color. And what this does, it helps you make decisions. Because what's so nice about this is it's playing on how your room looks with the furnishings, your artwork, your accessories, everything. Even painters have hired me to pick the color because when it gets down to it, painters do not want to choose color. And Mike even mentioned that. They want to be given the paint. So if I can take the stress out of this process and help you and choose your colors, then all of a sudden, that next decision has been made and you're ready to go. You get the painter over there and your room is coming together much faster than you would think. As I've mentioned ceilings here and there, sometimes people just think ceilings should be white. Never neglect your ceilings. As I talked to you earlier about the head-to-toe makeover, this is ceiling to floor. And ceilings can really make a difference in a room. Sometimes if a ceiling is very low and adding color to the ceiling, it pulls the eye up. Let's say the color on the wall is one tone. The ceiling could be from the same family of color, but maybe a lighter version of that. Or maybe you want something more dramatic. It really comes down to how you want this room to look, if it's going to be soft and airy, if you want it dramatic. And many times people think, well, if I put color on the ceiling, it's just going to pull the room down. And that's a fallacy, because many times when you're putting wall color on and then you're leading the eye up, it really pulls the eye up and it makes the ceilings actually appear much taller. And if one has any crown molding, any decorative details, having color on the ceiling is stunning. It can be actually beautiful as far as showcasing the beautiful details. And I think this is a great dramatic effect as far as even sometimes I've seen people do something decoratively on crown moldings to kind of layer the effect. But again, it's all personal choice. It's whatever that really connects with you. And again, this program, like I said earlier, is great for the exterior. There's so many details on the exterior. Sometimes you can have these older homes, as I've talked about, a door color choice. Maybe there's shutters, trim. By having this Benjamin Moore program, you'd be amazed in how quickly you can see your home before you go to any of these paint stores and purchase the paint. Because, God, if you make a mistake, who wants to think about how much it's going to cost to repaint it? Not only for the paint, but the labor. So I think this program by Benjamin Moore is fabulous. Speaking of making decisions, people sometimes forget to think about the finishes. For instance, and there are a variety, and it's personal choice, but there's some things that I think you should be aware of depending on the room. Dealing with the finish, which is flat. This basically has no sheen. It cannot be washed. And some companies, though, even with Benjamin Moore, have a product called Flat Matte, which, if you can believe this, it's a flat finish, but it's washable. And you're going to see a lot more companies trying to come up with a product like this because it really helps where people want that flat finish. In these older homes, there's so many problems with either cracking or there's some areas where there are some bumps and it's just not a pure, clean finish. Having a flat paint diffuses any kind of imperfections. And I think, too, a good finish for the old homes in these imperfect walls, it will de-emphasize the problems. And, of course, ceilings normally have flat paint unless you want some kind of dramatic look where lighting is shining up and want to have some kind of glistening look. One finish that's popular in bathrooms and kitchens would be eggshell. There's a slight sheen to it, washable. Good for easy to clean areas, and again, it's not as high gloss as the semi-gloss, but it really has a nice slight sheen. I've even seen that on ceilings where it's preferred, depending again on the look. If people don't like that high gloss, satin is a lovely finish for trim, baseboard trim doors and so forth. And also, if there's a room where you have lots of kids, and it's prone to dirt, grime. You know how children can be walking up hallways and they tend to have their hands all over everything. It really can be a nice finish. So it's, again, easy to clean. We got to think about these families with lots of children. But it can be beautiful with trim, ceilings, and so forth. And again, if you want something that really is working well as far as the high gloss, is a semi-gloss, mostly for trim, sometimes bathrooms, possibly ceilings. But this is extremely easy to clean. But if you want that nice glistening look, flat walls, and then having the high gloss, semi-gloss trim, that can work as well. At this point, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to All About Redecorating with Jan Girard. If you have any questions on any topic that we've been talking about, you can reach me at my office number at 401-849-1668. My website, which showcases all the services I provide, is allaboutredecorating.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk about color trends for 2009. Welcome back. And if you're just tuning in as well, this is All About Redecorating with Jan Girard. If you have any questions on any topic that I'm discussing, you can reach me at my office number at 401-849-1668. My website, which showcases, again, all the services I provide, is allaboutredecorating.com. As I mentioned before the break, we were going to be talking about color trends for 2009, which we're midway into. And one thing that I found interesting, and when you look back in history, the economy has a great impact on color preference. And one color that I really love working with, and you would think it would not be that popular, but it is the color gray. And there are a lot of things you can do with it. When you think of gray, too, and what I read about is that people want a tasteful look, but not frivolous. It's a very sober tone, but yet it's very sophisticated. Gray is easy to build on. It's also considered the new neutral. When you think about neutral, people think of beige and beige and beige. But there are many neutral tones out there, and gray has been considered the new neutral. What's great with gray, and there are different gradations of gray, if it's a deep charcoal or a lighter gray, think about the metallics, silver. These tones, this finish, is very big with the color gray. Also, when you think of black accents, the color magenta, camel tones, turquoise, and even the coral tones are beautiful with gray. So don't be afraid of using this type of color because it's great to build on. It can be very elegant, very kind of casual elegance that can be created with this color. So there is a wide spectrum of colors that it will go with. And I can't even think of a color that it wouldn't go with. I think, too, when you combine it with the white, it has a nice, sleek, clean, and serene look. Kind of an offshoot of this would be the silver blue tones that have become popular the last couple of years and still going strong for 2009. And it's kind of as along on the same lines as the deep grays. And again, metallics are wonderful with this tone. So if you like a soft look, you can combine it with off-white, the creams, the beiges, soft blues. It's a very relaxed look, very big in the summer homes. And sometimes, too, people may have a certain look if they have a winter home, and they want this more dusky soft blues to be a part of their environment if they're near the water. But if you want a bold look, bold accents, think of the oranges, the purples, again, the magentas, the lime greens. This could be done with patterns or solids as far as once you've painted your walls. Think about the tones you can mix with as far as combining these colors that I've just mentioned. Again, this is a personal choice in how you build on whatever is the shell of the room, meaning the painted walls. Now that we're again in the spring and summertime frame, the lime green and fuchsia is really hot. People are just loving it. And I think when you correlate what you see in one's personal fashion, you also see in home fashion. And that I've talked about quite a bit. And years ago, you would never see this, but when people are wearing these beautiful tones, they love to look at it when they're at home. So there is a tie-in, most definitely. And when you think of these colors, if it's the green organic feel of nature that surrounds a room, and it can be a very uplifting tone, make you very happy, and they complement each other. The fuchsia adds a lot of passion to any space, and this could be a fun color to work with if you've not done it before. Though you're going to laugh, but what's really starting to come back again are those soft rose tones that were very big in the 80s. So again, what has worked before does tend to come around. And things have cycled. Think back when we were looking at the miniskirts. And now, a few years ago, miniskirts have come back. Maybe modify, but it's that, again, why reinvent the wheel if it worked years ago for a younger audience then, and now there's a younger audience now, so they'd be attracted to it. Remember shag carpeting? Shag carpeting has come back, but again, modified, not as thick and heavy. And I think the colors from the 60s have come back, and the 80s. And again, I think when you look at the whatever was popular then, they're going to think, well, it has to work again. So let's keep it working as far as an idea for decorating. I think, too, when you think of the 60s, think of the rich yellows, the shades of olive green. You'll see it more muted now with mixing with earth tones and khaki and stone color. So I think, too, when people are taking an element of what was hot or big in the 60s or 80s, then they're bringing it together, but it could be with a different tone, mixing it with things that were bringing it, making it very fresh and new. A few years ago, a client of mine happened to give me a book that she thought I would enjoy, It was from Home and Gardens, and I think it was back from the 1960s. Hardbound book. I couldn't believe it. I opened it up, and all the things that I'm talking about were there, the deep oranges, the golds, the olive greens. It was almost where I felt like it had gone 40 years later to now, because I was seeing so many similar things that had been brought back. So as I mentioned, designers will look at what was hot a few years ago, many years ago, and they just keep rearranging it. I think, too, when you think of the 80s, you think of bold and bright but somewhat downplayed today. The blue aqua walls with fabrics of hot pink are really big. It really kind of is more of a flashy look, and then when you pair it with black and white accents, that can be so dynamic. I mean, think about what black and white can do with any of these colors that I'm talking about. And it could be ceramic pieces that are black and white. It could be pillows, fabrics. It's endless what you can do with these colors. Again, it's just bringing new life to something exciting. I think, too, if you want something more toned down and refined, there are ways that you can do this, too. Just take the tone and make it more subdued, but you can still work with the black and whites and make a very classic look. Big thing to remember here is don't overdo anything. Just showcase it. Another, speaking of black, I have been seeing a lot lately, too, people actually putting black on their walls, or it could be actually a deep charcoal. And recently I happened to be leafing through a magazine, and it was a stunning photo of black walls, white, stark white trim, and then they build on color, be it if it were the fuchsias or the magentas and the greens and yellows. It was absolutely a classic look. So I think what you can do here, think about it, everything goes with black and white. It can be dramatic, classic. I think, too, black and white can just be very serene in a way where it depends on what you're accessorizing with. But getting back to the softer side of things, even if you want to tone things down and you're more comfortable with the soft tans and soft yellows, you'll laugh, but even the soft lavenders are considered the new neutral, because soft lavender can go with anything, and it can add subtle vibrancy to any neutral palette. Camel, of course, is timeless. It's a quiet backdrop that can be building on any kind of look that you want. No matter what your style, camel is a beautiful backdrop for a look that you're trying to create. I think, too, it's a great opportunity to add any level of color with your fabrics, upholstery, and pillows. So keep that in mind if you just want to play safe, you're more comfortable with those neutrals. Imagine the tones that you can pick up with as far as introducing a new tone. Recently, I heard from one of my listeners here, Sarah M. from Newport, and she had a question that I thought I should share with the audience. She says, I currently have white walls throughout my home. I thought of adding color in more of a medium tone, maybe a medium beige, but I'm not sure. I thought it would make the rooms look smaller. The rooms are an average size, too, so is it true that color makes a room look smaller? Definitely not, and I hear this all the time. They think, oh, God, if I add color, it's going to make it smaller. And I really feel it's not true. When any client doesn't know what to choose, they play it safe and they'll paint it white, or maybe a linen white. Again, this is personal, your personal taste. Not that anything is right or wrong, but by adding any degree of color, a room can be more interesting, more warmer, much warmer, excuse me. It will show the detailed molding that you've been trying to bring more attention to. It's more pronounced. It will definitely add depth and dimension. And even speaking of color, I've been working with clients that have actually been adding some deep tones in their bathrooms. Don't think that bathrooms aren't important. And it can really bring a small area alive and make it rich and complement the flow of color throughout the house. Look at many of the art galleries, the museums today. You're seeing a lot of these galleries adding deep tones, jewel tones, because it really brings out all the beautiful artwork. So I think keep this in mind as far as what you're going to be doing as far as color. And I think you can always give me a call if you're having any issues. I'd be more than happy to talk to you, because I know you don't want to make any mistakes on anything that you're choosing. And if you need to reach me, my office number is 401-849-1668. My company is called All About Redecorating. My website, allaboutredecorating.com. And I'd love to chat with you about color and any of the issues that you may have. At this point, it's time to say goodbye for this weekend, and looking forward to connecting with you again. And thanks for listening, and until next time, happy redecorating.